My name is Max, and I get to share this morning on our on our day four of the Lent series. And it's my privilege to spend this time with you guys and share on this word. So let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 21 to verse 48 first. I'll be reading from the NASB, but actually I'll first pray. Father God, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you've brought us here and safely, that we can, Lord, we can meet, discuss your word, receive from you, Lord, safely and openly, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for this privilege. Thank you that you've come for us and that you've blessed us with your spirit. We love you, Lord. We give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so Luke chapter 2, verse 21 to 48, right? And and when 8 days had passed, before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy by the Lord. And they offered to a sacrifice, according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was a righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry to him to the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed him, and blessed God, and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, for you have prepared in the presence of, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in the years and lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. And now we'll turn to Acts chapter 2, and we'll just read from verse 42 to 47. Give me 1 second. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Amen. We will now watch the video that comes with this. So let's turn to
screens. Today you're going to be listening to Luke 2. And two of the stories that I love are the story of Simeon and Anna, who are waiting for Christ's coming. And they remind me of a story of my wife and I's visit to Paraguay, where we met two older people, Mennonite translators, who had been working for 52 years to translate the Bible into Nivacle, but only to find that the majority of the people could not read it. And so they began to hear about Faith Comes by Hearing and prayed that we would come and record. And so we went down to see them, and they were just so honored that we were there. And I couldn't believe how honored they were. But what had happened is the audio Bibles, the proclaimers, had come to the community, and the pastors had gathered the people to hear. And when they began to listen, they thought they would listen for 30 minutes and stop and have their sermon. But the people said, no, don't stop. And they would listen for an hour. And they said, no, don't stop. Until they listened all morning, they said, wait, we have to stop and have a meal. And so they ate, and they came back, and they listened all afternoon. They listened all evening. And they said, okay, tomorrow we'll come and listen again. And the pastor said, no, you have your fields, and you have to work, and we need to prepare. Come back next Sunday, and we'll know now that we're going to listen all day long, so bring food, and we'll be prepared. But when they came that next Sunday, there were over 500 people. Each had told a family, a friend, a neighbor, and all of them had come to hear the Word of God. And they were so hungry that nobody wanted to go away. And in 2 days, they literally heard from Matthew 1 to Revelation 22. And I hope that same hunger for Jesus Christ and His Word lives in you.
Amen. And now to the devotional for today. I'll just read quickly. One of Luke's aims in this opening section of his gospel is to show how Jesus fulfilled the hopes and expectations of the Old Testament. Theophilus, to whom this was addressed in chapter 1, can be sure of what can be sure of what he has believed, because Jesus really is the promised Messiah. In Luke 2:21-40, we are introduced to two people: Simeon, who was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and Anna, who was looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Both Simeon and Anna saw Jesus. Both recognized that he was the Messiah, and both praised God. What's the application to us? Jesus really is the one who was promised. We can trust in him with confidence. Let us, like Simeon and Anna, praise God. Amen. And so I'll just add a couple of things on this from myself. So we, as we just read, right, in Luke, you can almost, there's a small point that we see in the devotional where it refers back to chapter 1, verse 3, to the author, rather to the addressee of this book. So Luke is writing to to someone who is called Theophilus. There's not really much in the, out there is known who that is. Some speculate that it could be some Roman official. it could be just a kind of honorary title that more as means someone who God loves. So we don't really know. But what's interesting about that is that in chapter 2 here, we kind of see that he's laying out almost the credentials of people who have testified to Jesus being the Messiah very early on, right? So he describes that Simeon, who was very devout, and describes him as the one who has the Holy Spirit. So this is interesting. Obviously, as we know, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will happen much later in Acts, right? But yet we find also that there were already people filled with Holy Spirit, right? So for me, it's just something that jumped out and kind of reminded that, you know, Holy Spirit is not a New Testament invention, right? He's been around. And in fact, he was already testifying to Jesus before Jesus testified of himself, right? And it sort of got me thinking about how, you know, when we, it got me thinking about the question of evangelism and kind of apologetics and how we sometimes can fall into the thinking that when we evangelize out there to people that it's maybe down to us to the eloquent arguments or to the amount of time spent in a relationship or to just the right thing to say. Or I mean, we put, you know, sometimes take on the burden of doing all that. And I'm not saying it's wrong in itself, right? I think it's many of these things are right, and certainly as the Spirit leads, our evangelism may take on any or all of those forms, right? Such as relationship, apologetics, our own behavior and so forth. But we must never lose sight, I suppose. And this is a reminder of it, right? That it's the Holy Spirit that testifies, right? And this is what's really paramountly important, right? Is that we need to always keep in mind that it is the work of the Holy Spirit, right? So approaching any of these situations, be it that you're witnessing somebody at work or that you're, I don't know, in a cab or you're standing in a taxi line, whatever that might be, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to lead someone. It's never going to be really your effort, right? You may well join the Holy Spirit, you may well join. That is the opportunity, I think. But the pressure is really not on us to do this, right? All we have to do is obey and trust that Holy Spirit will testify. Because after all, Holy Spirit here testified, like I said, way before anything was really known of Jesus just yet. He was a little baby. Some of you know I'm a new grandpa, so last night we had a first sleepover with our granddaughter. She was over at our house, and I was holding her in my arms whilst I was preparing for this, and I was thinking, it helped me visualize the scene of Simeon, you know, man of old age who, convicted by the Holy Spirit, comes into church, and then he says these things. He says, he addresses this baby as, "Lord, surely I've seen your salvation," right? It's kind of interesting, right? I mean, think about, and nothing but Holy Spirit would convict you of something like this, right? Because this is a little baby, right? It's 8 days old. I mean, it's tiny at this point in time, right? And Simeon was clearly convicted by the Spirit to address this baby as the Lord, right? I mean, he didn't have any of what we have to his disposal. His parents didn't come to him. And in fact, it says that parents were amazed at the things that he was saying. They were probably, when you say amazed, that was probably like a polite term. They were like, right, thinking this guy is out there, right? Because, you know, this is, well, they were still themselves processing just what happened 8 days after, right? This is still very new. And I think it was super encouraging for them to see this man, this devout man, this obviously respected man, right, who was called out by name, who came and recognized and gave them, I think, probably great encouragement must have been quite an interesting scene. Anyway, so I was struck by that. Additionally, it was really quite interesting, and this is an interesting testimony how this day happened. So I was picked to do this day, right? Just randomly, right? Monica put me down. Right, I was traveling on business somewhere, so I had no time to check whether I would do it or not do it or whatever, right? And so I just said, okay, I'll do it, right? And then when I looked at the day and the verses, right, actually my wife opened the app and she said, oh, you have to download this. This was like 2 days ago. I said, okay, I'll download it. And whilst she opened it, I looked at the verses, and the second set of verses is Acts 2:42-47. Some of you know that those are the verses from which our house church takes its name, right? So our house church is called House to House, and it's from the verse Acts 2:4-6, basically, right? And that the short history of that is that some time ago, when we were still actually called Happy Valley, we went, as a house church, we went through a period where I'm sure every house church has been through, right? Which is people don't reply to their, you know, to the emails. Nobody cares about making the food. Nobody serves. Nobody volunteers. People don't even show up. And so there was a period of when we were praying through this, and we had the so-called DTR moment, right? So and in the midst of that, define their relationship, meaning what is your relationship to the house church? In my prayers, I really started, God really started taking me back to what house church used to be like, right? Which was people were so filled. I mean, if you read the set of passages, it talks about with eagerness and sincerity of heart and gladness, right? I mean, they were filled with this fire, right? This was early church, right? In the midst of persecution, right? Where people, that's why they were house to house, right? They would go to temple and they would hear teachings, and they would go and, you know, quickly run away to, you know, and go from house to house, breaking bread and really just enjoying that fellowship, devoting themselves to the teaching, which is exactly the model for our house churches, right? It's like the exact recipe, right? We discuss what the pastor has talked about on Sunday. We fellowship, we break bread, right, and all that. And in the midst of that turmoil in our house church, I kept getting this. And the answer ultimately became that we, instead of kind of pursuing the path of, you know, I don't know, everything from carrot to stick to try and get people to come and be good house church members, my heart was, and as house church leaders we agreed, was that we just get everybody to serve, right, all the time. Meaning we're not going to meet at any one house. We're going to get everybody to open up their house or whoever possibly can. We're going to get everyone to prepare food, to do worship, even if we're not blessed with someone like Ernie. In fact, we're not blessed with anybody who can play any instrument, so let's pray for that. It's Spotify every time, right? It's the everyone takes turns, right? And this was where it came from, right? House to house, and everyone took turns doing something. And actually, that was quite a pivotal moment for us in our house church kind of a history, in that people really got engaged and things really, really changed. So I can kind of testify to the power of the Word and the Spirit in that. So those were the two things that kind of stood out. And of course, as the the kind of uniting theme here is just that, you know, that joy that we got the first time we encountered Christ, right? You remember that fire, remember that just that overflowing, like, you know, desire to pursue, like, not wanting to read everything about him, or wanting to pray, wanting to fast, wanting to do all these things. And if you've been a believer for a while, you know you've been through those moments, and you've also been through moments where you're just not feeling it, right? At any given point, any one of us could be in any of these seasons. But I think the uniting kind of theme here is, you know, that hunger, that passion, that fire for God, and how it began even before Jesus, you know, preached a single thing, right? So it kind of goes back to, you know, where does it all come from? It doesn't come from our emotions, doesn't come from how much we know about him, doesn't come from our effort to do things for him, right? And none of those things, none of those things really, and when I thought about it and reflected, what actually gets me back to that place? It's actually none of those things, right? It's not the adding of the more emotion. It's not the adding of more things or even more understanding, even more learning. It's not any of those things, right? It really is the Holy Spirit and the time. You know, the only thing you can add is the time, and the rest of it is just emptying yourself out, right? And just getting rid of all the distractions and all the things. And even if some of those ambitions seem like holy ambitions, right? Sometimes I know I've caught myself thinking, well, if I just, you know, read 10 chapters per day, I'm going to get that fire again. But that's a method, right? And, you know, trusting in a method versus a spirit, I think, doesn't really work. Anyway, so that's really what I want to pray, is that, you know, all of us get to go back to that first love again, that first love feeling, right? That fire of that we experienced the first time, and I'm sure since then as well, right? So, if I can invite, let's pray, and I'll invite Ernie to bless us with worship. But thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you've inspired just these beautiful, evocative verses, Lord, that remind us of that first love. Holy Spirit, come, Lord, come, take your rightful place in our lives. Convict us, Lord, once again, of that you are the Messiah, that you are the chosen one, you are the Savior of our lives, both in eternity and also in this life, Lord God, that you deliver us. And it's all of this is because you love us, Lord God. So, Father, as we worship, Lord, I just pray for igniting of that passion, that fire for you once again. Thank you, Jesus.
I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, I will never let you go. Taking me from the miry clay, set my feet upon love. Now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world before, I never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Worship you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thanks, Father God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just pray that you bless us every day with a greater portion of faith, Lord God. Greater desire, Lord, to meet you with every day and every second of our existence, Lord. Seek you and be filled with that gladness and joy. Just being in your presence, Lord. Father, I would just lift up to you all our house churches as well, Father. Bless us with the unity and fellowship and just love for one another. That we may experience your transforming power in the midst of our gatherings, Lord. And as we go from house to house and break bread and fellowship, Lord God, that we know that you are in our midst. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Praise you. Prayer falls in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's turn our attention now to the community prayers. Let's really lift up all those who are battling cancer and also going through recovery and therapies and chemo, radiation therapy and surgeries. Let's just really lift them up and speak God's heart into every one of these situations. We know the Lord wants to see all healed. Let's also lift up those who are battling various illnesses but need that word of salvation, need that experience that changes everything. Let's pray into every one of these lives that they be healed physically and they'd be saved forever as well. Now let's also pray for all those in our house who are going through various types of infirmities. Let's just pray for the release of healing, restoration into every one of these names. Let's lift up those who are currently looking for jobs. Let's really pray for that the next job be a genuine calling to the to destiny, to a place in the marketplace that is more than just a job. It's a calling. So let's lift up those who are looking. Let's turn to our mission focus. Let's lift up the country up north. Let's pray for open doors for ministry. Pray for let's just pray for ease of suffering and for God's hand to be over those people and the government. Just pray for Lord. We trust in your word. We trust that you want to see everyone saved and everyone delivered. So let's lift up that country. Let's lift up all of our weekend gatherings. So we've got Alpha, premarital course, GIC, prison outreach, drug rehab outreach, migrant workers outreach, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, SP Indonesia services and activities, and all other meetings. Yes, let's really pray that they all be spirit-led, that in the midst of every encounter, every teaching, every gathering, that that people experience God and become more and more like Him. Finally, let's lift up the house churches that are meeting today. Fortress, House to House, Mawan, Southside, Tavistock, and Westside. Yeah, as we prayed, let's really bless them to meet with passion. And as we discuss the sermon, just praying for sensitivity to the Spirit and worship and prayers. And even in the midst of discussions, pray for unity, for people to really experience the love for each other and the love for the Lord. Let's pray for that. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this time that we can come and pray. Thank you for this house and for the people's hearts that come and just spend this time on Saturday morning with you, Lord. I thank you for this blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Give you all the glory and all the praise. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Bless you, everyone. Have a great rest of the time of prayer. I was quick, right? And have a great weekend filled with Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, guys.